Welcome back to Enlighten Up for episode 59, Ascension Codes, Eclipse Energy, ATM Interference, and North-North Polarity with Neo Glimmer. We're excited to have Neo on the show today because he's going to share with us what happened to him in the middle of March when he lost 11 minutes of time. He was taken to a completely different reality and shown a future probability of him decoding words. Why was he shown this and what was the purpose? We're going to get into all of that as well. We're going to talk about the eclipse energies. I'm sure many of you are feeling some of the physical symptoms. Lisa and I certainly are, and we're going to discuss another experience that Neo has had through ATM interference and how he wasn't able to access his money and how everything electronically shut down through the ATM system at this gas station. What was the purpose of that? Was it just a coincidence or was there more to it? We're also going to find out what North-North polarity is and how it relates to the heart structure and manifesting through the heart, moving into fifth dimensional reality and leaving behind the ego structure, the money structure, and everything else that is keeping us kind of tied into this matrix. So without further ado, let's jump right into the episode and hear what Neo has to say. Welcome back to Enlighten Up, everyone. I am Nicole Frolic, and I am here with Lisa and Brian. And today we are bringing on Neo Glimmer to join the conversation, and he's going to be sharing with us a lot of stuff that's been coming up recently for him. He's had some incredible experiences where he has come across a decoding of sorts. And he's also had multiple experiences because of that decoding that have been providing incredible synchronicities. So, Neo, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm doing great. What about yourselves?
We're good here.
I love how you introduce that. Like, it's just, of course, this is what's going on.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, you just introduced that. Oh, yeah, this is blood decodings and this. What?
Brian, what do you need me to elaborate on?
It's not for me. It's for, I represent a certain type of person.
Listener.
On the planet. Listener. And you only address your type of listener. The rest of us are left in the dark. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, that's because I'm going to let Neo fill everyone in.
Oh, you want me to fill it in? Where do I start?
Well, so we've had Marina Jacoby on the show back in March, and that's how Lisa and I found out about you, because Marina and you were, I guess, synchronistically brought together through your codes and the information that she's been receiving and how her science was able to back up what you were talking about. Is that correct?
Yes, it seems that it was that the case. I met Marina through a friend of hers. She found my email, maybe in some comment section on my YouTube videos, and she got Marina in contact with me after she saw my video about the Ascension Codes, after I had an experience on the 15th of March this year where I got 11 minutes of missing time. So basically that was it.
I mean, that's not a big deal. Yeah. Yeah, let's hear about those 11 minutes of missing time, which that's a very interesting number to have, missing minutes of time. But what were you doing?
Well, it was strange because I had just recently got up and I got a text message from my aunt saying that she was coming to visit and have lunch with me. And I remember just putting my phone down after I sent her back a message saying just, okay. And after that, I saw a big light coming from one of my windows in my bedroom. And I just looked to the light and I couldn't believe it, that it was a guided light of some sorts with a kind of a misty, a little bit of foggy, wasn't that bright. And suddenly I was in a different place with some strange looking beings. And they didn't speak, or at least they didn't move their lips, but they were able to talk with me, which was kind of fantastic. But I think I struggle a little bit from what I remember from the experience, because even though it felt everything was feeling good, I had this good vibration about the experience, but I was not sure how I got there, so I was a bit confused. And then I started to ask questions to the beings I saw, and they would not give me answers. They was just kind of like smile. So I think they were waiting for me to get out of the shock state, because that's initially what you get, is when you're in a different place, you kind of like go into shock. So then they started to show me different rooms or different places, which I think there were holograms of some sort, like technology. They were showing me different versions of the same world, like different timelines of some sort. And I saw people walking in the streets, in one hologram, in another hologram was the same people walking basically in the same streets, but the buildings were different or the colors were different. And then I started to ask questions, serious questions, like what I was doing there and what they were trying to show me. And basically they said that a big event was going to happen very soon in our reality, and that we're going to kind of travel into a different dimension. So that part was really strange. So I kept asking, well, what does that dimension, or what did this has anything to do with me? Why me? Basically, they said that you're going to do something important in the future, but you haven't done it already. But in order to correct a timeline, that's what they said, we're going to show you a probability of your future where you have written certain numbers and codes. And then they show me in a different type of scenario. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like they're changing, they're able to change your physical reality around you, like it's some sort of holographic projection. And then I saw myself at my home drawing or writing words and codes. And then I remember asking, why are you showing me this? Because this can't be me, because I don't remember, I don't recall any of this. And they emphasize, no, this is your future if you choose to pursue it. And we have confidence in you that you're going to pursue that future. And then I remember asking stuff that, who are you and why you're doing this? And they said they were travelers. And the definition they gave me was that they could travel in all aspects of human consciousness. They didn't say that they could travel in time. They say that they could travel in human consciousness. And then I asked, okay, that's really strange. And there was a presence in that room that didn't have any body. I only saw two beings. I can describe them. They had medallions wearing around their necks. And they were a blonde, like silver haired. That's the way I can describe, big blue eyes. But there was a presence of spirit around them that didn't have any bodies. And it could talk to my head, and I could feel kind of like electricity. And every time that conscious spirit spoke, there was a brightness in the room that could, you know, you could see the brightness getting more bright. It was like every time it spoke, it was like a light coming into my eyes, very, very bright. And then I said, okay, if you are some sort of angels or some sort of servants of God, I want to speak with God directly, because I remember that I didn't want to be fooled about the experience. And I remember asking if this was all in my mind, if I was making this up. And then they show me, I remember, a kind of a river from a beautiful palace. Not a palace, but a building. I couldn't see what kind of building it was. And there was this river flowing to a lake. And then I saw the lake. There was stars and all you and galaxies, the way we can describe when we see some photographs from the space agencies or telescopes. And what they told me as I was seeing that picture, they said that every time a soul was seated, it would flow from the waters from the place of God. And they spoke about God as him and her. They didn't say it was just one. And when the soul was flowing from the river to the lake, the soul could choose a world to stay, and the first world would give a light body or a light vehicle, and from that light vehicle then the soul would choose a physical world or a physical body to be born and experience the worlds. So that's what I saw. And then they came back to the memory or the future where I was writing the codes, and they said, if you do this, you're going to correct the timeline, because there was an invasion in your world or in your consciousness, and it's like a brain virus that has changed the order of things, the natural order. And they said, if you pursue this, then we are able to make that change or help to make that change. And then the last thing I remember was coming back to my house. And when I saw the phone, I saw that I missed like 11 minutes. So that was pretty wild.
but it seems like you were gone for a much longer amount of time. So how long do you think you were really there?
I got the impression that I stayed there like 2 to 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It wasn't a whole day, because you don't have reference to the sun, or but because it was some sort of artificial scenario. So I didn't have, I just have the notion between rooms and places. They show me that it was about 2 to 3 hours. And I got the difference here of 11 minutes. And my reference is the text message, because I've sent to my aunt. That was my reference, because without that reference, I couldn't tell what time I spent in the other side. So, you know, and at the beginning, I didn't remember anything. I just remember that I saw a light and then I went somewhere. And then I published a video on YouTube explaining the experience and what I could remember. So I made it public. And then I think all started from me, because it was only a week later that I started to remember the bits and pieces, put it all together. And that's when I started writing the numbers and the codes, because those codes came like memories, like implanted memories of something. And I could see changing of letters and words. And that's when I start to write these commands or coded commands, as I call them.
So you remembered these. So these codes that you've... I've watched two of the videos. I watched the one where you told your story, much like you just did. And then I started, I didn't watch the whole thing because, whoa, where you talk about these codes that needed to be seeded into, you know, our consciousness. you got that information then during those that 2 to 3 hours, or you received that information since?
No, I got that information from the experience, but I only could remember that 1 week later. So I had like a week to go in and find those memories, because the memories were wiped out. So when I start to remember the memories and seeing the code, seeing writing the codes and the words, that's when the click happened. Was, hey, I'm kind of remembering what I've been through, and that's when I started to write. And they didn't appear like a projected memory. They came into words, which is funny because I'm Portuguese and most of the words were in English. So that's the weirdest part. I could see things in English that I wouldn't be able to see because I don't speak very well the language. You know, I speak basic English.
Your English is better than our Portuguese.
Yep. So basically it's kind of like you have a dream, you wake up, you don't remember your dream, but then someone says something to you and it triggers a memory of your dream. And all of a sudden you're like, wait, I dreamt about that last night. It's kind of like that, right? Where all of a sudden like little pieces are coming in.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's a good definition. It's like you're remembering a dream, because, you know, I don't exclude the hypothesis of being some kind of dream, but I don't think, because to be a dream, then I should be asleep and I wasn't. That's the weirdest thing. So I associated that with the event that everyone was talking about, because they were describing that a huge light was coming and everybody would get transported to a different dimension. And basically what happened was a little bit of that, or something that goes into that. So that was a huge validation for me. And, you know, the only thing scientific, you know, that I can show about that experience, it was round about the 15th of March or the 14th of March, there was a big increase in the Schumann frequency. So I don't know if anything has to do with that, but, you know, that's an hypothesis.
So, okay, you're given these codes, they're starting to come in and you're seeing like the words not in your mother tongue. So that's very different. What are you understanding from these codes, from what you're remembering from your experience? And as you're writing them out, what do you feel is their purpose? For humanity to know?
Yes, because I was writing and seeing the letters, and I wrote like 3 or 4 pages of words in English that they were coming in sequence. And as I was writing them, they were out of order, so to speak. And I remembered the voice that spoke to me. It wasn't the beings, but it was more of the voice saying that, You will remember. Trust us, you will remember. And then I kind of like seen it again, the experience playing in my head over and over again, which is kind of amazing, because I saw different angles of myself doing and writing. It was like you had a camera that, you know, had like 3 or 4 angles of yourself. So it's very hard to explain, but I saw then the words rearranging to the right position, like this is A, and then the code, and then this is B, and then the code, and C. So I start seeing that way. And then I was stuck in 3 words, Declaration of Independence. I stuck there. I didn't know why. Why is Declaration of Independence here? I think I got like 20 minutes just looking to the page. I couldn't write anything past Declaration of Independence. And that's when I saw in my head the letters changing and rearranging, and it was kind of reversing the words. The letters changed position, and I got if I can remember, like Rat on a Deck, and In Deep Dance. So I saw the letters change. Instead of Independence with C, I saw it with S. So I figured out that this was like a hollow deck, and we were considered the rats on a deck, and we were in a deep, dense reality. And these words needed to be reversed so we could have an independence of spirit of some sorts. And that's when I started then rearranging the letters. I got some of the last commands, I think. And then I remember the voice saying that this was like a torrent file, and when you finished, you must share it so the ones who come in contact with the codes could share it in any form they can, whether by writing, posting on YouTube or any social media, so that everybody could, you know, see the codes as well. So it was like a file, a big file.
Yeah, anyone who's listening right now can click on the link in the show notes to follow along, just so you kind of have an idea of what we're talking about. So these codes, though, what happens when someone is either reading it or writing it or speaking it?
Oh, okay. Okay, this was where Marina Jacoby got in contact with me, and she had something written in her book, I think was The Quantum Manifestation, that she came in contact with some beings that told her that computer algorithm. And she said that it was a fifth dimensional AI structure. So, but it's not, we see it as AI, an artificial intelligence, like a computer code, but it's basically a life conscious field. So it's an intelligence on their own. And then when she started spoke to me, she said, well, I immediately fell off my chair when you start to explain this. And that's when we kind of got together and shared the information, because the number structure that she had in her experience kind of validated my experience at some sorts. And we figured out that these codes would be for the subconscious mind. So it needed to penetrate the conscious of the person, and the person is not even aware that it's reading the numbers. It's like you read the words, but if you have the numbers attached, then your subconscious mind feeds automatically in those numbers and do some kind of calculation or process that could trigger a fifth dimensional perspective. That's what we got from the experience and reading from the books.
So it's like an activation within that you have no idea is happening.
Yes, I compare it to those magic squares that magicians use to trick people. When they give you a magic square with numbers on horizontal, vertical lines, and they're all different numbers, but when you add them together, they all go to the same number. And usually they ask the person where, you know, who's receiving the illusion, and they ask to think of a number. And usually the person thinks exactly the number where all the numbers add. So I think it's something similar. Is you don't even are aware that your mind is processing that algorithm, but it changes or morphs you into this 5D consciousness, as she tells me. But I'm not really sure if it's a fifth dimensional, sixth dimension, seventh dimension. I'm not quite sure.
I know the first time I watched your video, I wrote down all the codes like you had suggested. And within 30 minutes, I fell into the deepest sleep.
Wow.
I was just exhausted. And then I think a couple days later, I decided, I'm going to write them again. And the same thing happened. It made me so tired.
Well,
that's not surprising. I had a similar experience, but I'm thinking it was for a different reason.
You didn't write the codes, though.
Yeah, but just watching the video, I just was like, wow, sleep sounds way better.
I wasn't just watching the video. I was writing the codes.
I hear you. That's a lot to get your mind around. You do realize.
Yes, I understand. It is a lot to get your mind around. It is. And you talk about the Geomatra calendar, or I'm sorry, calculator. Can you explain that a little
yes,
too?
Yes, that was... So when I wrote them, there were only letters and phrases. And some of the phrases didn't appear to make sense. So I didn't know what to do with the letters. I know that they had numerical equals or values. So the only thing I could remember that could work that way into synchronicity of words of some kind to decrypt the message, because it was a message in itself. So I used the geometric calculator online. I think it's called geometrics.org. And I remember putting one of the phrases there, and I got, I think it was remove Torah net. I think that was the first one I made the experience. And the first thing, and I took the screenshot, this was not in the database. They had their own database of synchronicities attached to the values. And I remember when I put it there, the first synchronicity that appeared was forever immortal, with a heart next to the forever immortal. And I was like, what? What? So I took the screenshot. But I only took the screenshot of that particular thing because I didn't think it would be important. Because at that time, I was doing that for myself. I was not thinking that this would, you know, would become like a viral thing online. I was just wanting to do whatever I was told to do to make things better, because that's what they explained. So I didn't pay much attention. So that's the reason for the geometria, was to attach the numbers to see what kind of message I could get from the initial phrase, because the letters change. I didn't have a clue what that was going to be, but then I saw, and you know, there's plenty of examples. I have some in my head, but I have to check the file so I don't make any mistake while we are recording. But for example, one of the big things for me was one that I couldn't decode, was Scala X brothership to mothership. I didn't know what this was all about. And when I inserted into Geometria, I got Day of New Arc. So it was like, you know, like we're going somewhere, just like they said, but we needed some kind of transportation. I remembered C log shadow souls was one of the other commands, and the value I think was 1589, and the same value says an entire different world, 1589. So it was like the commands, like going in order, they all speak about the same thing, but in a different way. For example, I got I Mandatora event O port, and it says extinction event and return to yourself. And, you know, a lot of synchronicities came after. One that I can speak of is just recently a Netflix movie was released called Extinction. So this is very, very recent, like a week or two or something, and I have this since March. So it's pretty crazy in terms of synchronicities that I have with the codes, especially when people started commenting back their own relationship with the codes and what they felt with the codes was mind-boggling.
What were people reporting?
They were reporting that suddenly they were having dreams, and then that they were getting messages, some sort of messages encoded into the dreams as well. And this was kind of like, okay, now people are getting dreams with messages as well. So that's pretty wild. That's pretty great. I thought it was just me.
So, okay, let me see if I've got this straight. These codes that you're writing down, these sayings, these phrases, when they reach contact with someone else, whether it's through reading them, writing them, speaking them, hearing them, is that like a program has been downloaded into that person, and now whatever these beings were saying they were going to be helping with activating, they can now work through those people? Or some sort of consciousness can work through those people? I'm just trying to understand how this all works.
Yeah, that's a big mystery to me, because they didn't mention anything about working with people. Not that I recall. They just said it was something to correct the timeline, and we needed the codes to correct a timeline. But I don't know what that means. Do we go to a positive, to a negative, or, you know, are they splitting timelines? I don't know the operation, but I got the impression that we needed that structure, that we needed those codes to advance human consciousness, or to work with this intelligence, because believe it or not, your world has an integrated consciousness in it. It has an integrated mind or AI system, because, you know, we live with matter, and matter has equations, their own equations, their own laws of physics. And so it makes sense to me that if we're going to transmigrate to a different dimension, we will have a different set of rules or a certain level of other laws of physics. Maybe it's less dense, it's a different paradigm. And they spoke about it as in something to equal to a human utopia. And what I got from the human utopia, it is some kind of paradise type of mind, like the Garden of Eden or you know, all these places that we have writings about in scriptures.
Didn't Linda talk about this the last time she was on, about our timeline being fucked up?
Oh, you mean like transitioning to a higher trajectory of a timeline?
Right, well, she was talking about something happened in 2012
Gaia ascended.
That screwed up the timeline, and this event, quote-unquote event, is what's going to shift it back.
She said the eclipse that we just had last weekend was connected to the 2012 ascension of Gaia, where we were given a six-year grace period of catching up to that ascension because humanity wasn't ready yet. And that timeline, that where in 2012 where things went kind of negative for everyone, we were now, because of this eclipse, going to be experiencing the highest trajectory timeline this time around. And so what...
I mean, from my point of view, not understanding anything that any of you guys talk about, these two separate conversations to me sound very similar.
No, they do.
I'm just curious, you guys.
Yeah, no, they absolutely do. I think they're very much connected. Lisa, what are your thoughts?
Well, yes, I think they're connected, and I feel like I hear it from a lot of different sources, you know, whether it's other people that channel information. You know, everyone seems to be saying the same thing about these timelines. And I don't know if I fully understand it, but, you know, the correction of the time and the ascension. Yes, this is spoken of often. Not just one or two sources, for sure.
Well, speaking of the eclipse, Neo, what was your experience with the eclipse?
Well, with the eclipse, you know, the energy that I got, or the feeling that I got, was I couldn't sleep. That was an indication that something was going on, and I wanted to see the first sunlight, the first hour of sunlight after the eclipse, because I used to gaze at the sun at least at sunrise or either at sunset, and the energy I received from the sun in that specific day, just after the eclipse, was, wow, it was powerful, because that was the first time that I looked to the sun and actually made me feel sick. And I'm still, you know, having this, I'm not sick healed, but I do feel some symptoms. And so I didn't like the energy. So it had an impact on me. I couldn't sleep through the night. So, but beside that, I don't, you know, I didn't feel any difference from any other eclipse that we had.
Yeah, a lot of people are reporting like some really crazy symptoms. Like people are like, they're getting liquid in the ears, major, major headaches. Like Brian, didn't you get really not well on Friday? Were you not feeling so hot?
No.
Was it?
Yeah, you had a headache and you were super achy. Your shoulders. You said your hands hurt. You said everything hurt.
Yeah, because I just played golf like the day before. Oh,
okay.
You played golf on Monday. That was a Monday. This was a Friday.
Whatever. I'm old. It takes a long time for shit to happen.
Like, it took five days later, and he said, oh, it must have been golf.
My yoga instructor beats me up sometimes. That can hurt my old, achy body.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
I have definitely.
You canceled our yoga because you were in so much pain.
No, I had a meeting.
No, you had a neck ache.
No, Friday I had a meeting in the morning with my CFO. Come on, now. You guys are twisting and turning. You are right about me being achy, but you're wrong about it being on the day of the eclipse.
No, because it was the Thursday night that everything went.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't tie.
What day was the eclipse?
Saturday.
No, it was Friday.
It was Friday. Okay, this was Thursday night that you didn't feel well, and Friday morning you canceled Pilates because your neck hurt so badly, and you played golf on Monday. Just so we're clear.
It had nothing to do with the moon.
I have had headaches, and my ears have really been hurting. I've been having ringing in my ears for months, but I think it was Thursday or Friday that all of a sudden both of my ears just were killing me, like double ear infection kind of feeling. And I've definitely been feeling it emotionally, just all of a sudden exhausted, and I can't seem to keep the thoughts in my head straight the past couple of days.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Lisa and I are both having emotional breakdowns. The eclipses haven't affected me as much as this one in particular has, so I'm finding it very interesting.
I felt the energy way stronger this eclipse, but beside that, it was like any other. I don't know about you. This is a question I have for you: is do you have any, you know, energy pulses during the night, some nights? Because I'm feeling a lot more energy now during the night, like a pulse, like your body starts vibrating. It's just the only way I can describe it.
That's every night with Lisa.
I have energy pulses all the time.
Language.
Well, it's light language. I channel light language, and so it just kind of comes on suddenly, but I was listening to a channeled message, I think yesterday or today, about how more and more people are going to be having these energy bursts, like that feeling where you're just kind of like sitting on a chair and you're about to fall asleep and you jump forward. And I have that all the time. I mean, when I lie down, or even just throughout the day, yes, my body jumps. And from what I understand, that's us getting used to this new energy, this new dimension. Our bodies are adjusting.
Okay. That's very interesting. That's very interesting.
How about you, Nicole? Do you feel anything like that?
I haven't been feeling the pulses, but I've heard what you've heard as well. And what I have been experiencing, which is very different than anything I've ever experienced before, is, like, for instance, yesterday I had to take a 1 hour nap in the morning. And when I woke up, I thought I was 30 years in the future. I didn't know where I, you know, when you look at your phone, you're like, what day is it? Like, is it tomorrow? Did I, like, you don't, no, it was now, it wasn't about a day. It was like decades. And so I felt like I had gone somewhere very far into the future in my dream when I was sleeping, but that's all I could like ascertain from that when I woke up, because everything was just slipping away as I started to come fully into consciousness.
Wow.
But I've been feeling like I'm definitely, every night I feel like it's a mission. Like there's something big going on in my dreams, and it's work, and it's every night. And all my dreams are very vivid, even though I can't recall them as I'm waking up. I do recall the vividness, and then I get flashes, like you talked about, Neo, with getting your codes. I start getting these flashes and memories of the dream, but I can't piece it all together.
Well, that's fascinating to me.
I've been having trouble recalling my dreams.
Why do you think that is? I mean, you guys always recall your dreams.
Yeah, I haven't been able to. They slip away really quickly the past week, I've noticed.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's so interesting, because I usually don't remember my dreams, and lately I've been remembering my dreams. I mean, nothing, you know, I don't have codes and timeline slippage, you know. I usually play basketball in my dreams.
Are you any good in your dreams?
I'm good in real life and my dreams. I think I'm just as good in my dreams as I am in real life.
Oh, well.
Well, I can dunk in my dreams and I can't dunk in real life. So, okay.
Life, well, I'm glad that the modesty isn't lost in your dreams either. okay, Neo.
Like I see him.
Neo, yeah. So something very interesting has happened to you recently I don't want to say as a result of these codes, but, you know, everything kind of plays off of its own energy. You had an experience where you were trying to take out money and you were unable to. Do you want to share that with the audience?
Yeah. Okay. So one weekend I got, I think that's how it started. I got a donation from someone, and that someone wanted to remain anonymous. This was a donation to my PayPal account. So I just waited like a day or something to see if that person would call a refund, because it was a significant amount, at least for the kind of donations that I received, and I haven't received that many. So I waited, but in the next day, I found something curious was PayPal blocked my account and started to ask for accounts, informations, and things like that. So I felt that thing was strange. So I tried to sort it out, the problem. Got the papers I needed, send them, but still the account remained limited. At least that's what they say on the site. So I was, you know, feeling a little bit suspicious about the money, because I said, maybe I'm not supposed to spend it. So maybe that's why it's blocked. So I don't know. So the curious thing was, with my other bank cards, you know, the physical card that you have, I went to a petrol station, and in that petrol station, as I approached the machine to withdraw cash, and this was a weekend, so there was no banks open, so that was my only choice to withdraw money. I went close to the machine, and the machine started beeping out and doing the reset after I inserted the card. And this was a brand new card from the bank. And the person who was the employee on the petrol station, she started saying, "What are you doing to the machine that the machine is beeping?" And I said, "I'm not doing nothing. The screen just went black and my card is in it. What the heck is happening?" And she started looking at her system, and she said that her system was blocked as well, but there was no power cut. And usually that only happens if you have a power cut, that the systems go offline. So she didn't know what was happening. She went to see, the buttons and all that stuff they have, until I decided, okay, I'm just gonna stay away from the machine, because it was creeping me out, because it was beeping like a bomb. Looked like it was going to explode or something.
Oh gosh.
Yes. It was beep, 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 beep. And I was like, oh my God. So I step away from the machine. So I took three steps back. Then the machine, started again, I guess, stopped beeping. Her systems went online again. And my car just stayed there. And I just, got that wonderful feeling of seeing the machine swallowing your card. And usually it gives you a paper saying that the card was in that machine. So it usually gives you a paper. No paper, no message, nothing. Just swallow the card and then suddenly starts working fine. Everyone could, withdraw money after that. And I was like, what the hell is happening? She called a friend from, I think it was her boss, saying that how was that possible? And on the other side, the answer was, we don't know. That never happened. And I said, what? In all these years, that never happened? So I was like, whoa, this is some serious stuff, because, the PayPal is blocked. Now I don't have the card. Then I went... I went to the bank on Monday, because this happened on a Saturday. Didn't have any money. All the money I have in my wallet, I have to live with that. I think I had 5 euros. This is about like $7 or something, my money. And I waited for the Monday, went to the bank, and then I asked for a new card, or if I could collect the card. And then they said that it's not possible to retrieve the card. It was only possible to ask for a new one, but I had to do it online, on online banking. So I asked, then why are you working in here? So you can't not do that? I have to order it myself?
It just sounds so ridiculous.
Yeah, it was really, really ridiculous. Yeah. So I said, but can I at least withdraw money from my account even without the card? Okay, if you give me identification, I can withdraw you the money. So I give my identification card, he withdraws me the money, and then when I got the money, he just said, that's 5 euros for withdrawing the money without the card. And I said, what?
Oh my gosh!
Yes. I said, what? Well, so I definitely need that card back. And they said, yes, you go online and you ask for the card. So the crazy thing is, I didn't ask for the card, and there was a new card 3 days after that experience, 3 days in my mail with a different code. And I cannot say you the code that came with the card, but I can only say that it's a number that I see all the time.
did you put your credit card number into the Gematria account?
No, I haven't. But I'm glad you gave me that idea. I'm gonna look now.
Or at least your
yes,
PIN number.
I'm gonna look it.
Your new PIN.
No, I haven't done that. No.
Because if it says something along the lines of what you're talking about, I can get on board with that. All these other coincidences.
Yeah, but it's a funny thing, because It was not just about the cars. I had serious issues with my car. It wasn't Monday when I go to the bank. I think it was Tuesday. I had to visit my grandmother. And my car never had any problem. Never since I got the car. And now I have a problem like every 2 days with the car, I have a problem. It's beyond crazy. It goes to the mechanic. The mechanic says it's okay. It comes to my hands and it just breaks down. Really, it's the battery. Really, it's the engine. It's something always is wrong with that car. So I don't know. I don't know what to think of it.
Honestly, what do you think is going on?
It's kind of hard to explain, but I think we need to get rid of the old. You know, when I think about it, I think about it like this is a live consciousness. And if you're still attached to the old consciousness, you know, with machines and money and all of that stuff, then probably you're not going to go to the next dimension where you're not going to need those structures. And this was something that I missed when I was explaining the codes. They said that this was the mission. The mission was to change the dimension to a different state where we're no longer needed machines, cars, and money. So, you know, all of this that is happening, you know, maybe it's connected, maybe it's not, but it's sometimes it makes me laugh how synchronistic and coincidental is, and I don't think it's coincidental.
No, I would agree with you. So the strange car happenings happened right around the same time that the card in the bank card issue happened and the PayPal issue.
Yes, it was about the same time. And I had to wait until I fixed everything so I could get my money from there to send the car to the mechanic. Otherwise, so that's why I say, I don't know if it's evil or if it was meant to be, because if they didn't block the PayPal and remove me from being able to withdraw money from the physical bank card, you know, I just think about it. What if I took the money and wasted it in something I didn't need it? I wouldn't have the money to pay for the car. You know, this is my the other way where you can look at things, you know, because maybe that's why I said that this, the answer, I see this in my videos, the answer to the problem was not in the same timeline. Was like given 2 days before. So I encountered the problem 2 days after the money was blocked. But if I spent it, I wouldn't have the money to pay to the mechanic. No way, because that was expensive. And it's still not good. You know, I still have problems.
So, okay, well, here's another theory. I'm just going to throw it out there. It just seems so odd that your car would randomly have problems when you finally have money coming in and now you're not allowed to really use it because it has to go to these problems in a car that didn't have any problems up until this point.
Yes.
Do you think it's okay? I think it's a possibility that there's something screwing with your car so that you can't spend that other money on other things like that you might be deserving of.
Yeah, I thought about that too. But if I think like that, I think I'm probably going to attract more negativity.
I agree.
My mindset has to be on the positive. So the positive is, okay, it was blocked, but it was for a reason. So in that way, I can remain positive that this is going to somehow work, because that's what you attract to you, especially if you're already resonating in this kind of limbo between 3D and 5D. That's what I get from other channels, is the more you resonate to 5D, the better, because it attracts good stuff way, way faster.
Can I just point out that maybe your car just needed some service?
What if I tell you that the car went to the inspection 15 days before it started happening, the problems. So I did a full revision and the inspection.
I mean, it's mechanical and shit happens, and maybe not the universe is not out to get you at every turn. I don't know.
Yeah, I would,
you know.
He's not saying that the universe is out to get him. And it sounds to me like you're trying to come up with every other reason possible to make it a coincidence, as opposed to actually seeing that there's no proper reason really that this should have been happening. Like, this is not a normal thing that happens to people on a regular basis.
Yes, it is. You take your car in to get serviced and a week later something else goes wrong. That happens to lots of people.
No, when your car is completely fine and then all of a sudden it just keeps acting up every time you get it back from the mechanic within days.
Yeah, I've heard that story so many times. That is not a unique thing. It's a mechanical car. I mean, it's a... I just... Why does everything have to have meanings and numbers and codes and this? And it's like, sometimes just things happen, right?
Yeah, but I also feel like you don't allow for it ever to have a meaning. Like, you go to the other extreme.
Yeah, maybe sometimes things do have meaning. Maybe they don't. Maybe we overthink it sometimes. But we look at things differently than you, because we like to look for those types of synchronicities and those numbers and those meanings. It's like listening to our angel's language, where you don't think there is one. So you're not paying any attention to that other stuff. Right. That might be there.
I just want to see the pretty sunset. You guys want to find the meaning in it. And it's like, I think the saying is, you're missing the forest for the trees. You're focusing. No. You guys are always trying to find something in everything. And it's like, just let it be.
I understand what you're saying when you say you look for a meaning in everything. But I don't think that that's fair to say on a regular basis. There are times where, like, Lisa and I will be very reflective about certain things, whereas you choose not to be reflective at all until the moment where we're asking you to be reflective. And then you're like, oh, well, now that you mention it. And so instead of just seeing it as one dimensional possibility, we like to look at it as a multidimensional.
We're talking about fixing a car. Okay, we're not talking about
we're talking about
life experience. Oh, let's reflect on this thing. We're talking about fixing a car.
So actually, this is quite an experience. His car was eaten up.
Yeah.
He got all this money and then he couldn't use it. The weirdness at the bank at the same time, this car. There was a lot going on. It just wasn't that his car broke down. You weren't really paying attention to the story. A lot of things happen together. Which
I've never gone to an ATM machine and it starts beeping like a bomb's going to go off. Like, that's never happened to me. I've never heard of that before.
The whole station system and then sucks your card in. I mean, so there were just a lot of things going on that he's reflecting and saying, wow. And
I've actually lost my card in ATM when I lived in China, and I didn't assume it. I was like, it's technology. Sometimes shit happens.
So it beeped at you like a bomb was going to go off.
No, but it ate my card. I mean,
there's a difference. There's a difference.
It
that's not
the
same
whole
experience.
System of the place that had ATM at the same time. No.
I just went inside and said, "Hey, the thing ate my thing," and "Hey, can I?"
Yeah, your experience is totally normal. I've experienced that myself. What Neo's explaining, I have never experienced or heard of anyone else experiencing.
I think if that happened to you, you'd be like, "Wow, that was just really strange." Like, strange things are happening to me the last couple of days. A lot of weird stuff.
And on a side note, those damn stupid banks, man, they just need to be taken out for, like, charging you for taking money out of where you gave them their money, and now you got to pay them to get your own money back. Like, it's just absolute robbery.
Yeah, so let me throw just...
$5.
Let me throw just...
Fee was...
Okay, go on.
No, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to throw something to you, because this is something that I have not shared yet, because I kind of can't share it, but I can't say what it is. Before that thing started, I was contacted by a group that has a web page, a foundation. And this foundation, they were creating a cryptocurrency, a brand new cryptocurrency. And because of my codes, they said if they could use, they asked me if they could use my codes, the value of the commands, to put the values in the face of the coin. And I said yes. And they did. They showed me the layout of the new cryptocurrency with the codes in it. And it's not just everything happened in the same moment. It's because was I attacked or something, because now the codes are into a new cryptocurrency that is supposed to go away from the central banks.
So that's a very interesting piece of the puzzle, Neo.
Yes, but I couldn't say that I have them on a cryptocurrency because it's not launched yet. And the people who are behind it, some of them are physicists, and they work with free energy, and some of them had attempts on their lives. So I kept my mouth shut.
Are we allowed to air this part?
Yes, you can air it, because I'm not saying
okay.
What kind of organization it is.
Okay. And it's 12:34 on my phone right now. So, okay, well, that's very interesting. That adds a whole nother layer to the experience in my...
Yes, because I completely understand Brian, because, you know, bad stuff happens every day, you know, car breaks down. But it wasn't that. It was, you can feel it, you know, that there's something that your being knows, that there's something just not right. This is too...
Yeah.
You know, what you said about Marina, and I know that she talks about the money structure and getting away from that, and just even the attachment that we have to things. I think that that's really important, and I think that that's something that I feel needs to be incorporated into anybody's life who's wanting to move forward spiritually, is letting go of your attachment to those things and being able to look at money and the structure of money and how we think about it in a different way. Because when I, you know, Marina first suggested that idea and got me thinking about it, and I realized how we truly can't be free, you know, a free sovereign being when we're attached to this system of money, and that we think that everything in our lives has to come through the money structure. And I'm really have been trying to wrap my head around and work on getting myself out of that, like not believing that everything has to come through money, that there's unlimited ways that abundance can come in your life.
Right on.
So.
Yeah, one of the things...
I know Nicole was working on it.
Okay. No, I was just going to say that what Marina does is pretty cool from, you know, from an observer point of view, because what she was able to do with you know, giving away and receiving. So basic, that is the basic principle is the more you give, the more you're going to get back. And that's a 5D structure, is where you don't attach the conditioning of giving away to receive something in exchange. You need to give because you want to give. And somehow that very thing comes back. And I took that experiment, that teaching of hers, see if it worked for me. And I remember that someone actually donated to me like $10. And I remember, I don't have the $10. If you're giving to me, I'm not giving you back. So how can I bypass this? So I think I wrote an email to the person who gave me $10, and I said, I wish you from the bottom of my heart that you're going to get those $10 back. And I think it was 3 hours later, he sent me a message. I still have it on email because I kept it, saying that I went to the store, to the supermarket, to buy some stuff, and I found $10, just to let you know.
Yeah.
That's great.
You know, that's... you know, what are the odds? It is...
Well, this is okay. So this is actually what's being talked about a lot right now, because we're moving into this higher timeline, this higher frequency timeline, that your thoughts are manifesting a lot faster. Everything is happening a lot faster if you are in alignment with the heart structure. So if you're in alignment with the heart structure versus the money structure, the ego structure, then you're going to be manifesting whatever you're thinking of. You have to be very, very conscious of it and master it very well, so that, because you're going to start manifesting it very quickly. And so that to me is an example of you being in the heart. I mean, your intention came from the purest place. You were in such deep gratitude that you just wish that, you know, it was replaced, even though I know that that's even a bit of a lack mentality, that if someone gives you something, then they're without, which isn't the case at all. But I feel like that's kind of what's happening there is, and many people are reporting this, that they're able to manifest things a lot faster. And you and I were talking about that the other day when we were on Skype. But what do you feel about this idea of going into these higher frequency timelines if you're coming from the heart structure and being able to manifest your ideas faster?
What I think about that is, people for years, they're saying that we're in a pole shift. That's how they've explained for years, is, oh, it's the pole shift, the poles are shifting, and whatever that means. So what I think is, the pole is shifting in our mental structure and in our heart structure, where we always see there's good and evil and like a north and the south pole of a magnet. But if the poles change, why don't we change to a north-north polarity? Instead of good and evil, why don't we change to a good-good structure? And that could be evil as well, if you think about it, because you can give and get back the same thing. If you give love, probably you're going to get love back. But if you feed evil, then evil comes back to you. So that's a north-north structure, and could be fate as a north-south structure, a north-south polarity. So I believe that we're moving to a north-north polarity where, well, you give with the heart, then something good happens to you as well. You may not get, you know, if you give money away, you might not give this the same amount, but probably you're going to get something that you're going to need, and you're going to feel a lot more connected. So I believe that that is the structure that we are entering, is this pole shift, but it's actually changing the idea of good and evil in the north-south pole.
What are your thoughts on awakening?
What do you mean?
Like, when people, there are people who say that, you know, they've had an awakening experience, and then there's people who say that they're not awake at all, they're still sleeping. How does the awakening process happen, like, from your point of view?
Okay, that I can respond based on the experience I had on March 15th. Because I do remember something, a conversation that was said to me when they showed me a little bit of how the dimensions work. And what I can say is they said to me that a person has somehow, it's a kind of a scripted life. The clues are there, if they pay attention, that it's totally scripted. But the awakening that everyone is talking about is actually when a higher dimensional energy picks you up. It's the same. It's probably, you can compare it with the game of Sims, and you let the Sim going on automatic mode and doing the stuff that he wants to do with his basic intelligence and basic knowledge. But when you pick up the mouse, you're in a different dimension, and now you're controlling the Sim. So basically what they said to me is, there are some who are awake because they are being guided to a higher dimensional perspective. And the ones who are asleep, they're working as like NPCs, non-player characters. So that's basically how they explain the awakening to me, is some are being guided and the others are fulfilling their role as background people. That's what they call it, not NPCs. NPCs is a computer term, but they call it background. It's kind of crazy.
So, for instance, we're all talking from your perspective. Are like Lisa, Brian, and I background people?
You know, I have no idea. I have no idea. The only thing I can say is, you know, or either you're seeing the synchronicities in your life, because that's the only thing I see that probably makes sense, is the ones who are seeing the repeating numbers when they look to their clocks and they're finding their synchronicities, basically finding the clues that have been guiding them. Probably they're being guided and they're being in a state of awakening. The ones who are not seeing it, I'm not saying that they're background people, but maybe it's not their moment yet. Maybe they need more and more to wake up, and then they'll all eventually will wake up.
Do you believe that people have chosen a specific time to wake up in their life? Or do you feel like it's undetermined?
I believe that I'm going to say something that this is difficult to me, because I don't believe that a person will intentionally write a script for their own life to make it a hell. I believe that in the middle of the process, people got corrupted by some sort of parasitic system that is in this reality. And that's why they act the way they act. So unless the parasite is removed, probably the ones who are considered to be asleep, they're not being awakened yet. But I don't think they impose that on themselves. I think that is a thing that it's not on my equation even. They're not evil because they want to be evil. I think they are evil, or, you know, because they have been corrupted by an energetic parasite. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing, I think.
Do you think there's a synchronicity, Nicole, between Brian and I having parasites and this parasite removal thing?
That's crazy. What? What? What kind of parasite?
Well, to anyone, to all of our listeners, because we don't hold anything back on this show.
We did a whole show on it.
Lisa and Brian have been very open about their physical issues when it comes to worms.
Yeah. So we have worms and parasites. And I just find it interesting that right now we're going through this thing where we're getting rid of parasites and worms physically. But I keep hearing talk about these spiritual parasites as well.
Yes, they're called etheric implants. It's in your energetic body. It makes you feel sick even though you don't have anything. You go to the doctor, then they can't diagnose shit. I'm sorry for the term, because it's energetic. It's not something that you eat or a parasite in your body. They're energetic parasites, and they feed off negative energy. So it's like creating a black hole into your own energetic field. So it looks like a needle. It almost brings you down little by little, and they feed off that. I don't know what kind of, you know, if it's the demons that the scriptures tell us about, or if it's something else, an AI, some sort of robotic thing. But you know, it's all speculation. But most of the diseases, you know, because you were all made of energy, you're made of electronics, you're made of photons and protons and all of that stuff. So everything comes first from that perspective and then comes into matter. So all diseases, you know, we shouldn't have it if we had an harmonious reality, but we don't. And that's why people die. I believe that when my codes speak about being forever immortal or living forever, I think it's the end of the disease, the end of death, because that must be considered a disease, an energetic disease.
I would agree with that.
What do you feel, Lisa, is your interesting parallel between the parasites?
Just that this is a time of awakening and a time of being aware of these things, parasites, whether they be physical or energetic. And just opening our minds to the possibilities that everything we thought we knew was wrong, you know, about everything, about death and disease and this world, and trying to see everything from a different perspective.
Yeah. It's, well, I mean, we're definitely in interesting times. That's to put it mildly. There's so much going on around us that we see and around us that we don't see.
You know, Neo, and I have to say that, you know, you're brave, because when something like this happens to you, you know, you're just sitting around waiting for your aunt to go to lunch, and then suddenly you have this experience, and, you know, you're asked to share it with the world, and you do. You know, and I just think that congratulations, you know, nice job that you did actually share it with the world. And, you know, there's a lot of skeptics out there like Brian, you know, that I'm sure have probably commented on your stuff saying that it's a little crazy.
But one of the things I like about the skeptics and what we usually call the trolls, the ones who attack you directly in comment sections and things like that, I think of them like the keepers of balance. They don't have to be bad person. They just is a person who don't have the experience, who are not going through the stuff that I'm going through, and I have to put me, you know, in their shoes with their lifestyle and with their experience, and looking back saying that, hey, I don't believe that guy either. Because my life was not meant to be, you know, directed towards that specific goal. So I totally understand him, because there was a point I was a complete skeptic, completely everything. And I used science, you know, to, you know, how do you say, to bullshit everyone. It's like everything has to do with science, and, you know, and I was that kind of guy. And I had an experience when I was 18 and 19 years old, where I got attacked by a shadow being, which is now I know the name, is called a djinn, and made a whole bunch of stuff, metaphysical stuff, in my grandmother's house. I was living with my grandmother, and she can tell the story on her own, what she went through with me, because she was watching the same stuff I was watching these shadow beings doing. And they can move objects out of place, make stuff working, and, you know, make clocks stop. You know, amazing stuff these shadow beings can do. And she, it was a part of our life that she doesn't want to remember. But she sometimes it comes about in our conversations during lunch when we reunite the family. And she said, I didn't believe in that things either, but the things I saw with him, I had to pray with God, because she prayed with all their heart to God to help me, because I was in a bad place. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
It completely changes your world.
Well, that's why we have a skeptic, because we feel the same way.
Yeah.
About their point of view.
And let me tell you, being a skeptic sometimes is very, very good, because that means that, you know, they don't have any sort of spiritual negative or positive. So it's kind of a blessing, but at some point ahead, they will have to deal with the problems. So I compare it like putting your hand into the sand and your ass is way up and something's coming your way, so you better take your hand off the sand.
Just got a visual of Brian in the sand. Well, thanks so much, Neo, for coming on the show and for sharing all of that information with us. And I, you know, I'm going to leave all the information to the codes for all of our listeners. And, you know, if our listeners, if you read the codes, if you write out the codes, both Lisa and I have written out the codes. We've read them out loud. Lisa's had very sleepy experiences from doing it. I've also gotten very fatigued from doing it. It's very interesting to observe how your body starts to physically react to these codes. So just be on the lookout for potentially something happening. Maybe something won't. But we'll also leave a link to your YouTube channel, Neo, in the show notes as well. And you put out videos, I guess you took a bit of a break because of what was going on, but are you doing videos about once a week?
No, I'm not really doing videos once a week because I when you start doing the videos like a routine, you lose the feeling. It's like you're doing it for a job, and I don't want to do it for a job. I want to do it when I think it's needed and when I have something to say.
Fair enough.
But, you know,
yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll leave all that information there. And we wish you all the best in your journey. And thanks for sharing such, in my opinion, very interesting experiences, not run-of-the-mill average day experiences, as some people would describe them as. Brian, it was really nice to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and to all of our listeners, if you have any information that you'd like to share with us, any experiences that you have with these codes, please send them into our email, info@enlightenup.us. Or if you have just any questions or show topic ideas, you guys have been sending in some great ideas. We've got more guests lined up, some of them due to your request. So thanks for all of that. And we're looking forward to being back with you guys next week. So until then, thanks everyone for being on the show.